Welcome to the Quick 10 podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 podcast. Today we have a special announcement, special emergency, whatever you want to call it. And just to kind of spoil it here and get a disclaimer, this is going to be a little bit longer than a typical podcast episode that we've done in the past. We try to keep in the 10-ish minutes, don't do very well at that sometimes, but this topic today is going to be worth it. So we've got a lot to cover. I am joined today by Jeff Baldwin, our Chief Information Security Officer, and George Perez Diaz, our Director of Advisory Services here at Beryllium and QuickTrack. Thank you guys for joining me again. I know you've been on a couple times here recently. And I think today is a great day to talk about a massive topic from our side, but also for those that do work with us, is that the QuickTrack Managed Enclave has achieved FedRAMP moderate equivalency attestation from a 3PAO. So we have Sounders. We're not going to use them today, but that's a big deal. It's good news. It's a milestone for us. It's a conversation that the whole industry is trying to figure out as these regulations and these memos and other things come up, how to address them so we can pass that value and that excitement on to our customers as we continue to solve problems within the defense industrial base and federal contracting space. So real quick, before we get into more on that, I'm going to kick it over to you, Jeff, just to provide some more detail on your background, where you come from, why this is important to you, so that our listeners or watchers can understand some more, and then we'll do the same for you, George, before we get into the details.
All right. Thanks, Derek. So a little bit about my background. I've been in contracting and as government service. So early on, I got into risk management framework before it was called risk management framework for all the old heads out there, certification and accreditation, woo. So certification, accreditation, getting that on the federal side. Then I actually went into the government service as Defense Security Service, the precursor to Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency, DCSA. And I did the oversight of NISPOM, National Industrial Security Program Operating Manual, Chapter 8 for classified processing in contractor facilities. So I did that for a little bit, and then I transitioned to the intelligence community, went into the black box for about 10 years and disappeared and nobody talked to me and, you know, did that stuff, right? So then coming out of that black box, it was interesting to be like, oh, I can talk to people about what I do in my job now. So that's kind of cool. So when I first came out, though, I went to L3 Harris. I was at L3 Harris. I transitioned into their supply chain cybersecurity organization. And that's where I got my first exposure to CMMC. So it was 2020. CMMC was coming out. AIR 171 had been around for a while. So looking at the, as a big prime, working with the subs, trying to understand and help them solve their problems and educate them on CMMC. So I did that for a little bit, and then I transitioned to Leidos as a cybersecurity architect and started working on some of their CMMC-related activities and architecting out different component types and the flow down of requirements and design architectural decision pieces for that. Then I went back into sort of Department of State work and ran a global network for them for a little bit. And then somebody came to me. And in the meanwhile, while I was doing all that, I was involved in the ecosystem as a provisional instructor. So I was out there training up assessors and certified professionals. But then somebody approached me and they're like, hey, can you give me any consulting or help with CMMC? And I was like, sure. And then they said full-time, and I'm like, sure. So then I went into that and I started working for myself as a consultant and working with a couple large primes for very complex networks. And that got me through their DIBCAC high process, got them a perfect 110 on that. So that was a really big deal for them. And then this opportunity with QuickTrack came up. They were looking for somebody to come in and start leading this new offering that we're about to talk about. And I said, oh, that'll be fun. So the other piece of that is, if I were to stay as a consultant, I can only really help a handful of companies. And usually it's going to be those companies that didn't actually pay a little bit more. So they're the mediums and the larges. So those small businesses typically can't afford, you know, to drop $250K, $500K to go get some consultant to help them out with something, you know. But I decided, you know what, if I stayed that route, I might be able to help at most a dozen companies through this process, and they're going to be the big guys. And it's really the small companies that need most of the help. So I looked at QuickTrack and I was like, okay, what are you guys trying to do over there? And that mission of, we really want to help the small businesses. We really want to keep them into the supply chain so they don't have to get consolidated, bought out, sell their businesses, retire. They can stay in it at an affordable rate that should cost them less than an FTE if they were to do it on their own. So that's the kind of the goal that I look for in that one. And with that, I think I'll be able to scale and help hundreds, if not thousands of companies versus only being able to help dozens of companies. So that was my main motivator for moving over and joining QuickTrack, having that opportunity to scale up and help more of those companies and keep them in the supply chain so that they can keep making the parts and keep supporting that warfighter.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, you've seen some stuff, and that's good. We like that. And George, you have too. Your background is also impressive in a little bit different aspects in different areas. So do you want to share a little bit about that before we dive into some more detail?
So yeah, George Perez Diaz. Thank you, Jeff, for that awesome and beautiful introduction and the way in which you represented QuickTrack and the helping thousands. I love that line. I'm going to use it when you're not around. But Air Force, I started my IT career as a Air Force uniform enlisted person, helping people build networks, manage networks, and wow, another 10 seconds.
Yes, whatever. It's good.
All right, George Perez Diaz, thank you, Jeff, for the beautiful intro. I started my IT career in the Air Force enlisted personnel. One of my first job was to train network professionals on how to essentially behave with elevated rights and privileges. That was before the 8570 requirement came about, where IT professionals had to have what now is the 8140, the Network Plus, Security Plus, et cetera, A Plus. After that, after my tenure in the Air Force, I decided to become a contractor, like many military personnel do. I was a defense contractor, also a Department of State contractor there for a little bit in the DC area, and then decided to go back to the DoD and became a civilian, working directly with the Joint Chief of Staff under DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, supporting the Nuclear Command and Control mission for the within the NMCC, the National Military Command Center. A lot of acronyms. Oh my goodness, I'll stop.
It's all right. We hand out QuickTrack acronym bingo cards before every podcast, and then if they win, they send them in.
Yeah, well, they can go to our website, and we'll have a dictionary there and what does all this mean. But yeah, like Jeff mentioned on the block box, which I actually thought it was kind of refreshing to go back home and not have to discuss what you did at work today with a wife. It was a bit refreshing. But I was working on my master's, learning a lot about system design, system engineering, architecture, and fell in love with business process mapping and notation and the VPMN and the UML, Unified Markup Language, essentially how to translate technical requirements into a universally understood model that anybody can go ahead, grab it, and build it. So I worked for the first time in the private sector for profit. That was refreshing. That was super, super cool to see how an organization eliminates waste. Not a lot of people walking around doing nothing. Everyone had a purpose and was relatively really good at what they did. But that was the first time that I was not working for the DoD in one capacity or another until 2016, when DFAR 7012 dropped into many, many organizations. That's when I learned that my company, the company I worked for, was actually a prime contractor. I was part of that team that built the CUI program back then. It was a 50,000 employee organization focused on research development, life sciences, specialty materials, et cetera. And after we built the program, we reduced the scope to under 3,000, which was super, super cool. Something that we do today, right, with QuickTrack. I was given the opportunity to manage and maintain that program. So I was essentially a pseudo problem owner. So that's one of the things that I love about our clients, that I'm able to, I understand their challenges. I understand what they're going through when they're about to start convincing and championing within their organization this inevitable change, the necessity to build security, information security program that aligns with the CUI program. Absolutely love to be able to share what I have learned. I also was one of the first organizations that went through a DIPCA CHI assessment. That was actually the point in my life where I said, I can go and help many organizations rather than just one. My previous organization had their thesis together, for lack of a better term. So I felt good becoming a consultant and helping many organizations. Very, very, very similar to Jeff's statement. Now I'm here at QuickTrack with the same mentality. One of the things that I love about the company here and the role and the opportunity to work here is that we have one of the closest thing to a turnkey solution, right? It is essentially, if your business processes align directly with what we have as a technical capability, closest thing to turnkey is what QuickTrack Managed Endpoint can do for our clients. And that's exciting for me. So happy to be here.
Yeah, no, well, thank you guys both. You know, we don't like to sit here and talk about ourselves a ton. It's important because we get to bring that down to our customers, and they get to bring that to their customers. And it just is how problems get solved. So you hit on a good point there, though, George, on what it means to leverage something like the QuickTrack Managed Enclave in a VDI pre-configured. And we're going to get to that. But I really think we need to kind of not make any assumptions here that when we talk about something as big and exciting, as impactful as passing a FedRAMP moderate equivalency, moderate equivalency attestation based on a memo that came out at the end of 2023. Jeff, I want you to kind of walk through that a little bit with us, just to kind of show what that mean, what that did to the industry, and then kind of what it means from external service providers, CMMC level 2 plays into, hey, how does that all roll out? So we can talk about the differences, but also what it means to the customers.
I was muted. So yeah, I will walk us through that. Let me put this cat down. She's always like, you're trying to do something and I'm going to get all tangled up in your cord. There you go. All right. So I'll share my screen here. No problem.
This is live and unedited cuts, baby. This is how.
That's how I do it. Rehearse? Right. Who needs to rehearse? Not me. Improv, baby. All right. So this was also a fun thing that happened here. So if you go to your favorite search engine, this is DuckDuckGo, and I type DoD FedRAMP equivalency memo, you can see QuickTrack, we achieved FedRAMP moderate equivalency attestation as a cloud service offering. So if you had not seen that article, that's there. And then on the left, we have our former CISO for the DoD there talking about how he's trying to make that process easier. So for some historical aspects to this, we have the DFARS 7012. That DFARS 7012 says in there, if you're going to be working with a cloud service provider that is going to process, store, transmit CUI, it must meet FedRAMP moderate authorization or equivalent. So there was questions over the years of what did exactly equivalent or equivalent mean inside of DFARS 7012. So that's this first link here is the actual memo. So December 21st, 2023, this memo comes out and says, you want to know what equivalency means? This is what equivalency means. And this is specific for the DoD. So other agencies could have different meanings of what does FedRAMP moderate equivalent mean. However, FedRAMP moderate equivalent is the language that's in DFARS 7012. We do have that new FAR CUI rule. Yeah, the FAR CUI rule does have language in there. It does not mention equivalency. So some people are reading into that saying, oh, so equivalency isn't exist anymore. What it says instead is it says meets the requirements of the FedRAMP moderate baseline. Mm-hmm. So can you meet the FedRAMP moderate baseline? How do you meet that? What does that mean? Those are things that should go into the comment process for that FAR CUI rule. My interpretation of that is you meet the requirements. All right, we met the requirements. What happens next? you get independent verification and validation. So if you go that FedRAMP authorized route, that is independent verification and validation that you meet the FedRAMP moderate baseline. However, when you do the FedRAMP moderate equivalent, it's the same assessment, more or less. There's some minor differences, but at the core of it, you have that FedRAMP moderate baseline, those controls that are from 853, those are being independently validated by a FedRAMP recognized third-party assessment organization. So that same C3PO can either do the same assessment for an authorized or that same assessment for the FedRAMP moderate equivalent. So when you look at this memo, you can't just go, I declare I am FedRAMP moderate equivalent. That there's some steps involved. So they really go through what are those actual requirements here. So here's that thing. The other thing that people get confused about is, like, I don't know how many times in the last 5 years people are like, the CSP has an ATO. Well, actually, no, a CSP does not get the ATO, the cloud service offering of the cloud service provider. So a CSO of a CSP, CSP being the company, gets the ATO. So if you're a CSP with multiple cloud service offering, each of those cloud service offering needs to get its own ATO. The other piece that people get confused by is, well, I put a server on top of AWS GovCloud or Azure Government, and Azure Government, AWS GovCloud, they have an ATO, so therefore I have FedRAMP. No. The FedRAMP assessment of those two clouds was done by a 3PO assessor. They assessed that hypervisor, that infrastructure, whatever their scope was. That's all that got assessed. When you build upon that, that new stuff that you built, nobody's assessed yet. So you have no level of trust, no level of assurance that those things were appropriately configured. So that's what that third-party assessment gets for you. So with this, we have the third-party assessment. To be considered FedRAMP moderate, you must achieve 100% compliance with the latest FedRAMP moderate equivalent security baseline. For us, that was Rev 5. So we actually went through Rev 5. So we had some of the new requirements, like a red team assessment. We had a red team assessment performed by a third party. And FedRAMP recognized third-party assessment organization and present the following documentation to the contractor. That would be our customers as the body of evidence. So for us, when you become a QuickTrack customer, your designated personnel, which we call the program champion, basically the one that has ownership of the, your CMMC program for that customer, they will be giving they are given access to our body of evidence. So all of those things that go into a FedRAMP package, which becomes an ATO package, are also found here. So we have an SSP, which has rules of behavior, contingency plan, and kind of for your note, AN 171 has no availability requirements. So there's no availability requirements in AN 171, but AN 53 does have that. So there's more controls that we've met over and beyond AN 171 when we went through this process. Mm-hmm. So you can look and read through it, the different parts of it. Then separation duties, workbook, and then the second piece is the security assessment plan. So what tests did it go through, and the delivered product from that 3PO, penetration test, sampling methodology, their report, and then the security assessment report right there by a FedRAMP recognized 3PO, which has all these elements in there. We provide the scans. It doesn't necessarily say it in here, right here for the POAM piece, but in addition to the access to the BOE from, you know, as outlined up here, we do a monthly executive summary, and you will get access to every month's executive summary. So we are maintaining this environment. We're continuously improving and working on this environment. So all that to say, if you're, I was going to go get an ATO, same package. If I'm going to go get a FedRAMP moderate equivalency, same package. We see this element of a FedRAMP third-party assessment organization. If you don't have that, if you don't have all this information, if you're working with another CSP and their BOE that they claim their FedRAMP moderate equivalent, and they don't give this BOE to you in its fullness, and everything in here is recent and not over a year old, then that's not going to be a valid FedRAMP moderate equivalency. So there's a couple of checks looking into the CMMC assessment process that you have to go over to make sure that, you know, this is timely, it's complete, there's not missing elements, and, you know, it's not really old. So there's a check process that happens with each assessment. Now, does a FedRAMP, does your CMMC third-party assessment organization need to see the full BOE? That's not what the requirements say. They just have to check that the contractor actually has it. So What that means is when we go into a C3PO assessment, the C3PO does not need to read 1,000 pages of documentation, because this is literally 1,000 pages of documentation. They do not need to read all that. They just need to make sure that it's full, complete, addresses everything, and you know, everything is by the book, and that that customer has it.
Let me ask you a question there real quick, Jeff. So mm-hmm. That's a good point. We're in 2025 now, and the CMMC realism is starting to hit people, and everyone understands the how that works. But this is real, and so what you're talking about here right now is explain a little bit more on, you know, the assessment day, right? The assessment day. A lot of people want to know, how much is that going to cost? How long is that going to take? How do I need to prepare? So maybe real quick on what you just said, from using a cloud service provider's cloud service offering that has this FedRAMP moderate equivalency in a fully managed instance where it's not built for you to go do a bunch of management on, versus say an external service provider like an MSP who has things all mapped out and then their responsibility matrix. What does that look like with QuickTrack, for example, as somebody who has this equivalency attestation versus maybe a different path?
Yeah, it goes into the concept of non-duplication. So if something has already been assessed, theoretically, and this is going to be one of those things that we'll figure out how it happens in practice, but theoretically, at the bare minimum, they could look to see that you have a customer responsibility matrix that says, you know, this is fully implemented by the cloud service provider. Great. If I was an assessor, because I'm also an assessor, I've been on joint surveillances, I train the assessors, I don't know, unless I am really instructed a particular way, I might still want some proof, right? So let's give an example of 3.11.2 vulnerability scanning. In our environment, we do all the vulnerability scanning for all the cloud assets for every customer that it's in the environment. We're taking care of scanning for you. We have a CRM that says that. We've been independently assessed by FedRAMP saying that we do that. We provide monthly reports of the scanning. And that's really the key right there, right? So for that particular example of vulnerability scanning, how do I know, me as a customer, how do I know that QuickTrack is really performing vulnerability scanning for me? I probably don't have the dashboard access to go look to see that, but am I at least getting a report that shows the scans for my assets within that time frame? And if I can produce that as an artifact to say, hey, you know what, we're doing monthly scanning. In our system, you're actually being scanned every single day, every 24 hours, you're being scanned. However, from a reporting standpoint, you'll get a monthly report. That monthly report is an artifact. You show the assessor, here's my artifact that goes with 3.11.2 vulnerability scanning. This is proof that it's actually occurring. So every statement that you make in an SSP is a statement of claim. You then have to prove it. So how are we proving those things? So it's a little bit rubber meets the road. We don't necessarily know if some assessors are just going to stop at, oh, you got a CRM and they've been assessed, you're good to go. Or yeah, they got a CRM, they've been assessed, but can you show me an example that they're actually performing it? And then putting myself in the customer's shoes, because as I work with this product, I always think about the customer. If I was in their shoes, if I was a CISO for a company that wanted to use QuickTrack, for example, the security manager, what are the things I'd like to see? And one of those things is, how do I know I'm actually get what I'm paying for? And that's where those reports come in. Yep. So, and speaking of those reports, another key element that was kind of glossed over here is that you must have 100%. So you can go out and get FedRAMP authorized and have open POAMs and be authorized with an ATO with POAM. That's the most common thing. Most people will say they've never seen one without an ATO, without a POAM ATO. With the FedRAMP moderate equivalency process, you must have 100%. So you cannot have any POAMs from the assessment that are left open. So they all must be corrected as closed. For us, we closed all those things. I do have other articles on my personal LinkedIn, if you're not following me, talking about operational POAMs. I got a 40-minute video that talks about that on my blog. Mm-hmm. So you can go to that piece. And then anything that's using this, you must ensure that you meet the requirements of the FedRAMP baseline, which is the FAR letter right there. So our FAR rule uses this language, meets requirements, FedRAMP moderate baseline. It left out the word equivalent, but you can see FedRAMP moderate baseline right there. And then your next question is, what's your plans? And our plans will be, we intend to get FedRAMP authorization. We intend to either get a sponsor in this calendar year. And if we're unable to do that, we will try to do the self-sponsor path when that becomes available to us. Because prior to that, you either needed a sponsor or you'd have to go through the joint authorization board, the JAB. And the JAB would only take about a dozen companies or cloud service offerings per year. So it really didn't have the ability to meet the capacity. Now, I see this thing here, wider FedRAMP door for cloud contractors. Love it. We would love to be sponsored and or self-sponsor in 2025. So by the end of this year, my goal is to have an ATO for our system. If that's not achievable, what will occur is that we will get another FedRAMP moderate equivalent assessment so that we stay in a FedRAMP moderate equivalent assessment status.
Yeah, and even though we don't technically need to have, per the rule and per this CMMC level two ourselves, we're also going to do that here in the very near future, which, you know, why not? That's, you know, why not? So, okay, so I'm going to shift this a little bit to, and thank you for going through that. If you haven't guessed by now and you're listening to this on a podcast platform, Jeff has been sharing the screen, so you can check that out on YouTube. Where all these episodes are also shown, so you can actually see what he's running through. Otherwise, we will drop those reference links to documents and anything brought up today in the description and comment section wherever you're finding this podcast. So that's good. Okay, so you're a lot of systems talk, a lot of, you know, that I think that did a really good job of highlighting how messy things can get without the brain power and the experience of understanding both systems and what assessors are looking for to meet these requirements. So I want to talk a little bit, George. Let's see if you want to bounce into the importance of how we're doing it to a controlled technical boundary and pre-configured, right? Kind of the same every time versus a bunch of different ways to service a bunch of different customers, and how that both played into our own FedRAMP process, but then also will play into our customers' CMMC certification program process.
Yeah, sure. Like always, we start by identifying how CUI flows within the OSC, right? The organization seeking certification, seeking assessments. As soon as we understand how they are interacting with the CUI, if they indeed have CUI, then we start modeling a set of solutions. How their business development team is going to acquire those opportunities that may or may not include CUI, including going to SAM.gov and having that that one data steward download the CUI into today, probably their commercial network, how that information then goes into the engineering team to validate that company has the capabilities to deliver and develop to the DoD aerospace industry in general. And if they have suppliers, how are they sharing that information downstream and back up the chain? So as soon as we map all that information, as far as the flow of CUI, we start to identify, is this client the ideal candidate for our solution? And the ideal candidate will be someone that has very little need for CUI that lives in the physical space, in the physical world. We want you to be in the matrix, right? So once you're in the matrix, so to speak, your systems automatically become out of scope. And QuickTrack, as Jeff defined it very, very nicely, it's your security boundary. That is your CUI, your control and classified information, secure enclave, which CTME, right? It's QuickTrack manage enclave. It's exactly what you get. To simplify the journey that Jeff was talking about, where an assessor will come and will probably have a hard time accepting evidence from another framework, which they should, right? FedRAMP is a different problem, solving a different problem, different opportunity. Therefore, it has a different framework. Therefore, it has a different third-party assessment process. It's either BAO curious or whatnot, because there's risk associated with them passing an OSC, OSA through an assessment without having that high level of assurance that the system is designed exactly how it's communicated. Our team, the advisory team, what we're being intentional about is simplifying the thousands and thousands of documentations and line items that Jeff was talking about in the BOE. We're essentially building a reduced, modified body of evidence for CMMC. So that's what we call a CMMC ready body of evidence and documentation. That includes your system security plan that has exactly what senior PIOs are accustomed to and expect out of an organization like us, a very clear and detailed implementation statement. We will point them to the policy and how and what the client is doing or the things that we are doing on their behalf in accordance with that customer responsibility matrix, the CRM that Jeff mentioned. And then we're building that triangulation between system security plan, policy, and the procedures that Jeff and the technical team are already doing on our client's behalf. So it is essentially a beautiful ecosystem contained right within the QuickTrack Managed Enclave and our advisory services where that fits that model. The other cool thing that we have, right, is that it doesn't end there. If a client has extra needs, have the need to call it an inverted external system, right? Because our cloud is up here and then their system within their network, let's call it an external system. There are opportunities there for us to help them achieve and maintain compliance in a manageable, achievable, scalable way.
That was, yes, thank you. And so to highlight the real value there is system built in a short period of time for you. If this is the first time you've ever heard of QuickTrack, or you're the first time you've thought, I have to do something and I just can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. We don't have a George. We don't have a Jeff. We don't have a whole team to maintain, even if we could build this thing. You get a pre-configured virtual enclave QuickTrack in days, which is great. Your users get in, you start working on that scope, shrinking that scope, but it doesn't stop with technology. There's also roughly 20% of the requirements, the 320 assessment objectives, the thing they're going to ask about on assessment day that you're talking through is that detail of walking that through with our advisory services on top of a technology platform allows for a much cleaner path and clear path to being ready for that assessment. Not thinking you're ready, you're not believing that you're ready, but knowing that you're ready. Is that an accurate way of kind of recapping everything you just said?
I love that, not thinking, not feeling, but knowing, because that's exactly it. And when we build the system, the cool thing that we have, right, is an intentional separation of duties within Jeff's team, whomever is doing the validation of the AU family, right, of the audit and accountability. It's not the same person that it is doing some of the changes, right? We have that embedded there. Same is true for the advisory team. We have a service that if consultant number one helps the client build the program, build the processes and procedures, then we have a CCA that comes and validate that information, that process, the artifacts are going to very, 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 very likely pass an assessment, right? Because we have the same talent, the same skills that a seated PAO have. We have CCAs, we have lead CCAs and elite certified CMMC assessors in-house. So we're building the process, the products and services in a way that it's already somewhat tested, right? But to Jeff's point and your point, we are going through that CMMC level 2 assessment. We don't have to, but what we're doing is essentially giving our clients a higher level of confidence that when and if they come to QuickTrack, they know that our process, our systems, our people have been already tested and proven. And theoretically, that should simplify the level of effort for senior PALs because we have done it ourselves as a client of QuickTrack, and then validating our documentation is there as well. So that's coming soon.
Yeah. And not to mention the number one thing that always gets asked is, well, what about costs? Well, with our model, because of how we how we leverage this is that you don't work with QuickTrack and get a big old dinner menu at the fancy steakhouse with 600 options. And then it depends on what you select. We've got it narrowed down to you kind of get your meal. It's a great meal. It's right in front of you. But you know with QuickTrack what you're paying up front. You know what you're paying over time. There's no smoke and mirrors. There's no, like Jeff was saying, hey, can you show me all this? Well, yeah, but for additional costs because we don't have that in our statement of work. And so that's another big thing for us. And we've always been that way is this is what you pay. And the knowing thing is one of the things I use when I coach my kids and other teams is anybody can say they're good or believe they're good and have that game and have that swagger, right? And I'm talking little kids up to high school kids, but you know you're good when you step on the court or go on the field and you win. And that's a big difference. And now this whole industry is dealing with that, which is good. It's starting to get there. It's going to get there as 2025 goes on. So that's obviously very exciting for us, our customers, and in general, the whole, we need more of that. We need more solution sets in this space. Jeff, anything to add here quick before we wrap? I know we're a little over 10 minutes here, but mm-hmm. anything to add there before we adjourn?
Yeah, I got two parts to that. One is back on that quality assurance piece, right? So we have scripts to eliminate human error, scripted out. New customer, run the scripts. We got a new environment, but don't stop there. Then add the human element of the QA, run down a checklist, make sure that they're good to go. We can build out an environment in under a day, right? So we can have it all built for you if you want to be coming in as a customer. After that, you will get templates that are going to have the SSP, like the policy procedure documents, the CRM that you're going to need, and access to our FedRAMP body of evidence. So with those templates, everything that is inheritable, that's fully inheritable from us or partially inherited as a shared responsibility, will be pre-configured in there. It's going to be kind of standard boilerplate language. What's left over is the customer responsibility piece and the second half of the shared that is on the customer responsibility. That's where George's team can work with our customers on the advisory side to fill in that last gap. There will be other material coming later this year that goes line by line through every single one of those things that's shared or a customer responsibility to show you what's really involved in that and how much is that level of effort. So some of that's pretty simple. 311 is a really good example. You as a customer have to tell us who authorized users are. We cannot tell you who an authorized user is. You tell us, then we do the technology piece. We go put them in to the IDP and then they get an account, right? So that's a really good example. On the other end of it, one of the things that I think is really powerful about our approach is you have your commercial environment that you do work in today. You like what you do. You like to go to Google. You like to go to your Gmail. You like to do personal banking. You like to look at menus. If you go into a really locked down environment, you can't do that anymore, right? Because what's one really common way to get a vulnerability? I went to this website and it's a compromised restaurant that's near the Pentagon. And oops, I just downloaded a backdoor because I wanted to look at this PDF menu that didn't have controls over mobile code that allowed some scripting to language. Then I've got compromised because I looked at a PDF menu, right?
I've seen it.
We don't want to have that. So in our environment, you can keep your commercial stuff and then work your CUI workflows inside of this enclave. Once you go into the QuickDrive enclave, it's fully locked down. At that point, you then have to tell us what to open up for you. So you're like, I work with Lockheed. Okay, Lockheed's now open. I work with Raytheon. Okay, now it's all open. Things that are .mil and .gov, we already allow list all those things for you. So you can go in there and day one, work with DoD Safe with your customers, get information in and out of that environment. Easy to go. If you also work with other partners that have portals and things, like maybe you work with a customer that uses ExoStar and you want to communicate with them, we can whitelist ExoStar for you specifically, and then you can use that website and go in there. But you can't do those personal things inside of the environment. We are operating off of zero trust, fully locked down, least functionality, least privilege. And then from there, you put in requests, you authorize things. We review them for that sanity check, take them through our internal change control board and do a security review on that, which is one of the controls that you don't have to worry about if you use QuickTrack. There's a lot of controls like that that will take over. And we'll have a lot more content and follow-on videos on this going through our CRM that really outlines what you're getting with this product.
Very yeah, nice. And real quick on that, sorry, George, is just the beauty of what we do and what we've always been set out to achieve is it doesn't matter what size you are. You have 2-3 people, and that's as big as your scope's ever going to be, and you just don't know how to budget or how to execute on this, QuickTrack, that's a great use case for us. Not sure if you even have CUI yet, and you're chasing contracts, and you don't want to invest everything because you got to get that business.
I forgot my tagline. I had to throw the tagline.
Taglines. I better write this one down.
The hardest thing to do is change your culture. So if you limit it, what you need to change to just be your CUI workflows, you don't have to change your whole culture. You only have to change a piece of the culture, which is when we're doing CUI work, we go over to this thing. And it's not that annoying that I have to open up a virtual desktop. I can have it on the same computer. I can have it on split monitors. I can have my commercial site over here, my government site over here, and have them look, and so I can do both things. So it's not that inconvenient. So that's a really good thing, is that, changing culture is the hardest piece of all of this.
Yeah, it is. That was what I was going to mention,
the changing of a particular behavior versus a culture to tee it up for Jeff. And the last thing for me is, like you mentioned, Derek, is like a dinner menu. And then I hear Jeff explain so eloquently and so passionately about the technical solution. And it is exactly like having dessert before you start having dinner. Right. That's essentially what came to mind there.
So Quick Track cupcakes for the first. No, I'm just kidding. This is good. So thank you guys for walking through this. You know, it's hard to just sit here. We could talk about ourselves all day when it comes down to how we solve problems. But this is a big announcement for us. It was a behind the scenes. It was a lot of work. So kudos to Jeff, George, our team. I mean, just everything that we've had to prepare for. It's been awesome, and it's going to be a really good year moving forward for us. And hopefully we see more and more in the ecosystem of CMMC clear out and people start to understand what they can get. How much does it cost? Am I going to get there? That's the mission that we're all on. As you can tell, the ecosystem's not that big. We all get along really well. That's how we ended up meeting each other all in the first place anyway, years ago. So thank you guys for spending some time today. And if this is your first time listening or watching, thank you. Hopefully you're still with us after a little bit lengthier episode than normal, but you can go to your favorite podcast platform. You can find the Quick 10 podcast there. You can go to our website. We highly recommend you go there to www.quicktrack.com, which is spelled CUICKTRAC. Go there. All the episodes are on there. They're all on YouTube. But if you want to reach out, you want to talk to us, is this something that you just can tell you want to learn about, or you want to talk about, or you just want to, you know, rant about, and, you know, and let us listen. We're happy to do that. We're here for you. Do that from our website, quicktrack.com again, and we'll get in touch with you. And then again, encourage you to stick around for future episodes as they come out, as we continue on with what we're working on in the ecosystem. Jeff, George, thank you again. And looking forward to next time.
Cheers.
A pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about Quick Track, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's CUICKTRAC.com.